radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome. Welcome to book, chapter, and verse 109 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio, exclusively on the listener-supported Head On Radio Network, and also brought to you by Coal River Mountain Watch. Their site is crmw.net. Please take a look and find out what's going on in West Virginia. Most of us have not a clue. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. Today is, in fact, Friday, January the 25th, 2008. Let that be recorded as a day that Peter did not get a nap. This is important to listeners because they are aware that I am fairly cranky when I do not have a nap and am prone to email people prior to 9 a.m., which you really don't want to happen. So in any case, if you are listening on a Friday evening, which is January the 25th, 2008, shortly after 9 p.m. Eastern Time, you're indeed listening to a live show. You're welcome to phone in and participate. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4, head-on. That's 877-443-2366. That's toll-free. If you have unlimited long distance, please use that. You'll save the studio a nickel or a buck. Remember, we are listener-supported, so every bit helps. That telephone number is 304-658-3333. That's 304-658-3333, and that rings in West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I do try to check the mail during the breaks. Last evening, that would have been Thursday, I promised you that our guest this evening would be a Mr. Utley, and Justin Utley is his full name. Justin is an up-and-coming out gay musician and songwriter, and doesn't do dance music like we often do here. He's an entirely different genre. He's from Utah, amazingly enough, amazing young man. And we had to reschedule that. Justin will be with us this coming Wednesday evening, and that will be a show that you don't want to miss. He comes highly recommended by someone else who has interviewed on the show, and everything I can find out about Justin is just remarkable. So we'll be looking forward to that. So this evening is a Just Us show on the network. We'll be having music and news and callers and all kinds of interesting things. The show site, by the way, is strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and there you're going to find links to all of the guests as well as to the guests' websites. And you'll find links to audio archives from past shows. You'll find links to the chat room, which is active as I speak, and I do encourage you to go by there and stop in. You will find an amazing assortment of people. If you're kind of shy and don't feel like talking at first, you could just log in and what we call lurk. And that's fine. You're welcome to join us. That's the link will be at strictlyconfidentialradio.com. You'll find links there also to the Head On Radio Network main site, and there you can find out about the other progressive programming on the network. You'll find links there to Strictly Confidential's MySpace page. You'll find links there to all of the other hosts. We have them far-flung, as far away as Australia, as most of you know. Links there for also Strictly Confidential's MySpace page and links to help you locate the music on the show. By the way, our DJ for the Gay Bar Across the Street segment, which will take place sometime after 10:30 this evening, is none other than Victor VJC from Disco 935 in New York City. And we always look forward to Victor's set. He will be running that for us this evening, probably starting around 10:35, 10:40, somewhere in that neck of the woods. And, oh yeah, we have requests tonight for anything by Cher. And so to make that wish come true, we're in fact going to be running a mega mix of Cher, which contains several Cher tracks cleverly and entertainingly blended together. It's the Mega Mix 2005, and it is the official Almighty Club Mix, which is from England. Our friends over at the Almighty Records Company in England do the Almighty Club Mixes, and they are always indeed fabulous. I suppose you can tell my voice is a little bit, how do we say, butcher this evening. I may be down in the low registers this evening simply because, not because I'm going straight, heaven forbid, but because I have a little touch of coffee, kind of laryngitis kind of a feel. You know, the weather in Florida is just nuts. I complain about it from time to time. It goes from freezing to then we go into the 70s and it's short sleeves, and then it's turn on the heat, then it's turn on the air conditioner. It's just nuts. And to give you an idea about how strangely global warming is affecting things down here, what are we, the end of January, what is this, January the 24th, I think I just announced, was coming in from outside today, and buzzing around my front door were no less than two mosquitoes. Mosquitoes are unheard of in North Florida in freaking February, which tells me that this coming year's mosquito season is going to be off the chart. So if one evening I simply fail to appear, I assure you it's either Agent Fred or the mosquitoes. One have finally taken me out. It's a true thing. I always like it when I have a long story to begin the show with. Unfortunately, today you're not going to get it. As I said, it's a slightly unusual day. What we're going to use this evening for is to catch up on many miscellaneous things that we haven't had a chance to catch up on earlier this week because of all the different things we've had going on. By the way, that guest last night, Alexander from the National Black Justice Coalition, Alexander Simmons, wow, he was amazing. Amazing guy. Wonderful guest. So in any case, this arrived today, and it's been an odd day, and I believe that our friend Frozy, our friend Gene, sent this to us late. Our news ninja Gene sent this to us. It's very, very short, so normally the reason I comment on doing something longer at the beginning of the show is because this is like five sentences, but nonetheless, it must be talked about. The news reads, it should come as no surprise to anyone, but toe-tapping, gay-hating, wide stance, toilet-cruising, gay-bashing Mayor Jim Nagle of Fort Lauderdale. Actually, he wasn't the toe-tapper, but he's right in there in the same ballpark. The mayor of Fort Lauderdale, who is going to install the robo-toilets, has endorsed Mike Huckabee for president. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Can you imagine two people who are better suited for one another? You know, there was research done a few years back at a university that has fairly clearly revealed that there's a direct correlation to a person's level of homophobia, and it correlates quite directly and demonstrably to a person's lack of security, shall we say, about their sexual orientation. In other words, the ones who are truly clinging onto the coat hangers to attempt not to be drug out of the closets are truly the ones who are screaming as loudly as possible. So I think Huckabee and robo-toilet Jim Nagle of Fort Lauderdale are a wonderful pair, and God bless them on their journey. They're probably have their wedding registry at Halliburton. I'm sure they could use something from there. Speaking of Halliburton, which we weren't, and we're still not, we're going to talk about the Family Council Action Committee. Told you the first story was short. If you weren't listening, I know you missed it because it went right by. The folks in Arkansas, rather, are at it again. By the way, I've often wondered, why is Arkansas pronounced Arkansas, yet Kansas is pronounced Kansas? Why isn't it Arkansas? Never have figured that one out. Perhaps some linguist in the chat room who's familiar with why Arkansas is not pronounced Arkansas can clue me in on that. But in any case, the Family Council Action Committee in Arkansas has done what they do best. They have gathered 92,000 signatures to put a measure on the upcoming ballot. They are ahead of schedule for these. They're saying that they're going to have about 100,000 signatures on this referendum. This measure would be directed at adoption to prevent a child from being adopted or placed in a foster home if the individual seeking to adopt or to serve as a foster parent is cohabitating with a sexual partner outside of marriage. Yes, this means you too, our heterosexual friends, which is valid under the Constitution and laws of the state, meaning that this law is applicable and underneath and controlled by the anti-marriage, which they so successfully put on the Arkansas, stated into law in Arkansas. It was a constitutional ban. Yes, they were the same group that managed to get the constitutional ban in Arkansas a few years back. And so now they are saying that this adoption will just not going to happen if you are anywhere outside of a heterosexual marriage. It applies to cohabitating a man and a woman who are involved in a sexual relationship too. Of course, this is to protect the children. It's quite clear it's to protect the children, they say. And they did this because they were pretty upset. There was the Arkansas Supreme Court. You see, there was after a child welfare review, an agency reviewed the policy back in 1999, it banned gay people from serving as foster parents. Well, the Supreme Court in Arkansas struck it down. It took 7 long years of a legal battle with the Supreme Court of Arkansas, with the ACLU, in order for that to be struck down. So now we have the signatures to make it constitutional. My God, you know, before long we're going to have a constitution that's going to rival the Taliban and the fatwas. And, I tell you, people, that's where it's heading. Very disturbing, actually. There was another aspect to this I wanted to point out. Let's see. Unanimous ruling, driving force, protect the children, marriage amendment, public opinion. Nope, don't see it. I'm sure there's something in there. Just credit that to my scratchy throat and being a little bit unfocused. But in any case, I will come back to that. Should that pop into my slightly demented and slightly croaky mind? Let's see. What else will we talk about this evening? Oh, yes. This has actually happened today or just yesterday. I wanted to fit it in. The New York Post is now doing something that most newspapers have abandoned. Used to be very common practice years ago, but it's becoming less and less. But in any case, the New York Post big headline, giant bold print: evil lesbian mom left toddler to die a slow death. And the headline fairly screams. GLAAD has released a media alert and contacted the editors at the New York Post. However, they refused to change the offensive headline on its website. You see, what's happened is a New York mother is accused of abandoning her 23-month-old son. She abandoned that child, and that child died. The child had been beaten by her partner. And the partner, of course, is serving a 15-year-to-life prison sentence for the murder. And in fact, the woman got what she deserved for doing something like that, to have beaten a child and then abandoned the child. But the fact that they're lesbians hasn't got a damn thing to do with it. It doesn't have any more to do with sexual orientation as child abuse by a straight couple. after all, I think you'd all be shocked to read a headline, "Evil Heterosexual Mom Left Toddler to Die." You see how it works. It's a way of making villains out of us. There's a parenting series a fellow wrote. It's called Poisonous Parenting. And he writes, the point isn't that heterosexuals hurt children. The point isn't that gay people hurt children. The point isn't that being heterosexual automatically makes you a good or a bad parent. The point isn't that being gay automatically makes you more aware of your child. The point isn't that being heterosexual automatically makes you a good or bad person. It's not that being gay automatically makes you good or bad at all. The point is that we're equal. And remember, being equal means having the same capacity to be good or the same capacity to be bad, because we are equally human. In any case, the GLAAD organization has put out an action alert to contact the New York Post and demand that it change the online version of the headline to reflect the fact that the sexual orientation is irrelevant to the case. But, you know, that'll happen. Not that the people won't call in and email the New York Post, oh no, but it won't happen. I think that listeners to this network are pretty much clearly aware of the fact that headlines are always tweaked with phrases like liberal media, which doesn't exist, and, well, you just substitute your own equivalent there. But in any case, that's what happened, you evil lesbians. I know we've got a few listening. I know you're out there in your bike snatching those little girls off the schoolyards, and now you're leaving them to die, those nasty, evil lesbians. But, you know, they're regular listeners, so I love them. I love them. Let's have a look. Okie dokie. Remember I told you the story last evening about Sean and his partner, Tim, who are recently married in the state of Iowa. In fact, they are the only married couple in the state of Iowa. I didn't have time to really tell you why they're the only married couple. You'd think that even though marriage was for everyone was legalized in Iowa, that more than just one couple would have gotten married prior to the judge putting a stop order on it so that it could be appealed to the Supreme Court there. But actually what happened was they went to get married. And see, the problem is there's a waiting period in Iowa. Now, you can have a judge put aside the waiting period such that you can just simply get married right away. And Sean and his partner Tim did that. The other couples that applied to get married did not take that step of having the waiting period denied. So they were waiting to get married when their waiting period was done, but the law was reversed prior to that happening. So because of the fact that Sean and Tim did have that to put aside, they were able to get married right away. So consequently, they are the only same-sex couple that is married in the state. And so in any case, this is going to go to the Iowa Supreme Court fairly soon. And it'll be decided there. I don't know how it will be decided. Of course, their marriage remains in the balance. But the interesting thing about this is that not being happy with just the fact that it's going to the Supreme Court, that's certainly not enough. There are now petitions, another set of petitions, by another social conservative organization. Oh, yeah, that reminds me. I remember now what I wanted to tell you back with the other story. It's going to be like this tonight, kid. I'm sorry, but it's going to just be like this tonight. The signatures for the Arkansas voter drive, which I talked about earlier for regarding opposite-sex couples could only do adopting and not any same-sex couples, they're saying that they intend to use the same method to collect signatures for the marriage amendment that for the adoption amendment that they use for the marriage amendment. And in a moment of truth, in a moment of unguarded speech, they said that they would use these same methods and that they would use church groups and other social conservative agencies. Now, isn't that special? We now have clear proof that churches are no more than conservative agencies. Church groups and other conservative agencies. So, yeah, there you have it. The church is a fully wholly owned subsidiary of the Republicans, or you could play it the other way. It's hard to know who married who in that unholy alliance from hell, but clearly something's going on. So in any case, getting back to the petitions for the impeaching the judge who said that it was unconstitutional in Iowa to bar same-gendered couples from marrying. This particular organization is called Everyday America. Now, Everyday America, oh, yeah, I just had to shake my head at that. That's his Everyday America, meaning, Joe and Susie down the street. It's Everyday America means everybody but us is pretty much what it means. But in fact, we are all part of Everyday America, as has been clearly demonstrated here. In any case, this social conservative bill says that the Polk County Judge Robert Hansen violated the state constitution in his ruling. Now, so they've gotten 6,000 signatures to impeach the man. Even though it's going to the Supreme Court, it may be overturned, may not be overturned, they're so angry at this individual that they want him impeached. They're marching on the courthouse, chanting, "One man, one woman, one man, one woman." They are screaming as loudly as humanly possible. Oh, by the way, here's a short note about our folks we talked about last night, Sean and Tim. They were married less than 2 hours after the judge ruled that it was that marriage was A-OK in Iowa for same-sex couples, and they applied for the marriage license, and they found a judge to waive the waiting period, and they were married. Not that they knew, mind you, it was going to be overturned or put on hold. They certainly didn't marry for that reason or rush it for that reason. They just damn well wanted to get married. Nonetheless, they were caught in the lurch, as it were, and these two folks are bearing the brunt of it, because being the only two, they are under a microscope and constantly battered about as if they were some sort of a commodity or a brand name. Never mind that it's two individuals. Never mind that there are actual human beings involved. And again, even this group in Iowa is saying that how are they going to get all the signatures they need? Well, the conservative churches and other groups. It's always the same source, is it not? Always the same. By the way, the House Speaker Pat Murphy, Democrat, and in fact both houses of the House and Senate up there, are saying that they are not in any hurry to pursue this, these collected signatures, and it's just the churches that are hysterical, which is business as usual in those cases, business as usual. So I think the legislature is going to sit and wait for the ruling, and I don't think the legislature is in any hurry to impeach a judge simply because he enforced the constitution of a state. But you see, that's activism. But we know many things here about many things, and we are so aware of how all of this works. Now, I'm sorry about my scratchy voice this evening. I didn't really realize it was this scratchy, or I might have called in sick. I don't have a sore throat, but it's a little rougher than I thought. Doggy and I communicate by deep, meaningful looks, and we don't really chat very much. So it's just now catching on to the fact that I sound like an old man. Nonetheless, between myself and Victor and Cher, we are going to do 2 hours of Strictly Confidential. And actually, I'm having a ball. I just sound like hell, but I'm having a ball. By the way, the Pope is in the news again. You got to love the Pope. He's our media whore. I mean, you know, he's not wearing red shoes and a really terrific House of Whoville hat to get the media to look at, but he's saying something really, 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 really amazing. Well, now he's actually criticizing the mass media. But as usual, in his highest popeness, he does not actually bring up the real reason he is criticizing the media until the very last sentence, and he sort of slips it in so that... but in any case, he is suggesting that there is a need for info ethics. Ha-ha, that'll happen. He's saying there's a need for info ethics in media. And he says, just like in the field of bioethics, just like in medicine and in science, there needs to be ethical standards to guarantee that, quote, human dignity is respected. In any case, the message was issued 4 months ago, actually, in the May 4th observance of the Catholic Church's Social Communications Day, but he has repeated it again. By the way, that Communications Day was called The Media at a Crossroads Between Self-Promotion and Service. You know, that's so funny. I mean, this, you know, all the brand name news, Fox News, we tell the truth, you decide. How does the phrase go? You know, the media has been about promotion, you know, since it walked out of the door. I mean, this is nothing new. And, you know, and the Pope just, I mean, guess the Pope is finally catching on to the fact that the media is not here to serve anybody. They're certainly not here to serve the truth. Maybe for a split second in geological time, back when there were some real newscasters about. But certainly not anymore. So in any case, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say that he realizes all that, and that the media should have some ethics. I said Benedict has says the media has played a decisive role in spreading literacy. Not so sure about that. Television has definitely reduced literacy as a whole. It has played a decisive role in democracy and dialogue amongst people, and it should be used for promoting justice. He says that the media can also use it to subject users to the dominant interests of the day. And now we get to the truth of the story. The dominant interests of the day, he says, this is what happens when communication is used for ideological purposes or for the aggressive advertising of consumer products. You know, honey, get a clue. Your purse is on fire, your shoes are tacky, and you have... Good Lord. Yes, aggressive advertising of consumer products. Oh, that'll stop. In any case, he says that it's done, moreover, to attract listeners and increase the sizes of audiences. And it does not hesitate at times to have a recourse to vulgarity and to violence and to overstep the mark. And here, at the very, very teeny, teeny, tiny last sentence, he slips in the dagger. Yeah, here comes the dagger. Benedict also accused the media of legitimizing what he referred to as distorted models of family. I don't think there's anyone, at least in my listening group, that needs me to decode that. There's the knife. You waited till the last second to slip that one in, honey. I thought we were talking about, oh, you know, aggressive advertising and self-promotion. And but no, info ethics, which is actually the phrase he used, he is really referring to distorted models of family. You could always count on, I have a great story here about Paul Cameron. Remember, he's the guy that did the Dutch study, the full of false, gay research about how evil and demonic and dirty we all are. I'm sure he's thrilled to hear about the drug-resistant staff. No doubt he's writing a in-depth, scientifically-based article at this very moment. And actually, we will get to that story just shortly. Right now, we're going to go to a break with a track that I... that's actually from the movie Transamerica. Now, if you have not seen Transamerica, I thoroughly recommend it. Let's see, just to give Bob a clue, that track is called Take 'Em Away. Yes, it's called Take 'Em Away. Now, Transamerica, as you may know, is a wonderful story about a female, a transgendered person who lives in California. She finds out the last second that she has a son, which she did not know she had, goes to New York to meet the son, and the son and the transsexual female who was actually the son's father prior to this travel across country together, and the adventures that develop from that are hysterical. They are touching. They are poignant. It's a wonderful movie. It's called Transamerica, and this track is taken from Transamerica. Go ahead and roll it.
Take him away, take him away, Lord. Take away these chains from me. My heart is broken because my spirit's not free. Lord, take away these chains from me. Some birds' feathers are too bright to be caged. I know I'm not that colorful, but a bird just the same. Open up your gate now, let me put down my load so I can feel at ease and go back to my home. Take him away, Lord. Take away these chains from me. My heart is broken because my spirit's not free. Lord, take away these chains from me. Sun beating down, my legs can't seem to stand. There's a boss man at a turn row with a rifle in his hand. I got 9 children, nothing in the pan. My wife, she died hungry while I was plowing land. Take him away, Lord. Take away these chains from me. My heart is broken because my spirit's not free. Lord, take away these chains from me. Can't see when I go to work, can't see when I get off. How do you expect a man not to get lost? Every year I just keep getting deeper in debt. If there's a happy day, Lord, I haven't seen one yet. Take him away, Lord. Take away these chains from me. My heart is broken because my spirit's not free. Lord, take away these chains from me. Land that I love is the land that I'm working. But it's hard to love it all the time when your back is a-hurt. Getting too old now to push this here plow. Please let me lay down so I can look at the clouds. Take him away, Lord. Take away these chains from me. My heart is broken because my spirit's not free. Lord, take away these chains from me. I know is where two rivers collide. The Brazos and the Navajo and the big blue sky. Floodplains, freight trains, watermelon vines. Of any place on God's green earth, this is where I choose to die. Take him away, Lord. Take away these chains from me. My heart is broken because my spirit's not free. Lord, take away these chains from me.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Everybody comes to Rick's.
If she can stand it, I can.
Play it.
Howdy, Rangers. Tune in to Rick's Place. You'll be fascinated with porn psychotherapist Rick Goodner's take on all of today's political issues from a real Texan's liberal point of view. So mosey on into Rick's Place for some good old hospitality with Rick Goodner. See you there, Rangers, this Saturday right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
And if you want another kind of love,
Rick's Place with Rick Goodner, part of the weekend lineup on The Horn, running all weekend in rotation with The Showers Report and Night Sounds.
Everyone loves to listen to music, but have you ever stopped to think about why it's great for kids to learn to play music? Hi, I'm Darius Rucker from Hootie the Blowfish. These days, it seems people focus way too much on the economics of school music instead of an amazing positive effect it has on kids. It's such a thrill for a child when he or she gets the first instrument or masters a simple part on the flute or performs a showstopper with a school chorus. And there's so much music out there to play and listen to. When kids learn to appreciate a show tune, a Beethoven symphony, or an opera, in addition to what they hear on the radio, it only opens their young minds to the diversity of the world around them. Make sure your kids learn to love music. Support your school music program.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. March is Music in Our Schools Month.
And we're back. The toll-free number is 877, the number for head-on, and that translates into 877-443-2366. We can also be reached if you have unlimited long distance by using 304-658-3333, and that rings in West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at Head On Radio Network. I had to chuckle to myself. I managed to get through a whole story about a movie to introduce that go-to-break track. I managed to get through a whole little section there about a movie called Transamerica without once mentioning Netflix. Well, we just can't have that. You know, they could sue us for not giving them their free advertising of the Head On Radio Network. So Netflix. There we go. We've given credit where credit's due. And, of course, Bob had me in stitches by telling me that my voice sounds like Betty Davis. Thanks, Bob. Oh, Lord, I can just see it now with my cigarette holder. And anyway, I promised to tell you a story about Paul Cameron, and we've discussed Paul Cameron before. I believe the first time we brought up Paul Cameron on the show was way back in the old days when we talked about how to write an anti-gay pamphlet in 15 easy steps. And if you recall, we took it step by step about how to set up the straw man, how to bring in disease and lice and stolen children and gypsies and mountain people and southern rednecks and everybody in New York, of course. So in any case, that was the first time we brought up Paul Cameron. And I believe we pointed out the fact in the past that Paul Cameron is one of the people who purported himself to be a credible scientist whom every other scientist and psychological organization laughs at. The man is simply a shill, yet the mainstream media, of course, they are always clueless and never, ever, ever bother to check anything out, assume that everything that flows from the lips of Paul Cameron is solid gold and factual, buddy. Everything from the Dutch study that he regularly quotes, which was, I went through a lot about the Dutch study. I'm not going to go back to Dutch study tonight. Not up to Dutch study. But anyway, we had a Dutch DJ the other evening. That ought to have answered anything you want about the Dutch. So anyway, Paul Cameron is obviously an anti-gay extremist. He is a discredited researcher, and he has a problem. You see, Paul Cameron hasn't been able to get much attention lately. This, of course, is huge because right-wingers, especially self-appointed experts, which many of them self-appoint themselves to be, are not at all open to the idea of falling from grace. As you all know, it's not just about the money. It has a hell of a lot to do with power and the ability to fondle oneself while listening to one's voice, or fondle oneself while reading about what the quotes, you know what I'm saying. So in any case, his research is usually appear in pay-to-publish vanity journal presses. There's like Psychology Reports. It's pay-to-print. But he hasn't even made... But you see, the mainstream media has no idea this is pay-to-print. Psychological Reports, that's gold standard. This is a definitive... This is a definitive rendition of the LGBT community you're going to find there. But he hasn't even made an appearance there since June of 2005. Last year, he tried to pawn off a paper he had written that he had supposedly, quote, presented, end quote, to the Eastern Psychological Association Convention. Now, the president of the Eastern Psychological Association quite clearly said, nope, that didn't happen. So apparently he's run out of people to quote and in a circular fashion endorse himself. The Eastern Psychological Association was having no part of it. Nope, didn't happen. So then Paul Cameron had a wonderful, wonderful idea. What did he do? Well, he just thought, well, you know, what I ought to do is start an internet-only journal. Now, that's what you would call a website. You can simply go to Yahoo and get yourself a website. In fact, they're all canned and ready to go. You just type in what you want to say, and poof, there's the website. It's all highly decorated and cool with little dancing bunnies and flowers and PayPal buttons, the whole bit. So in any case, his internet journal, which is Republican speak for website, hasn't had much luck either. So far, the journal has only posted two papers. And guess what? The only author appearing on the site, excuse me, journal, is Paul Cameron. Both papers, yes, were in fact written by Paul Cameron. It looks like the website isn't getting much attention either. According to Google, only four other unique websites have bothered to link to Cameron's venture so far. And one of them did so. You got to love this. One of them did that because Cameron paid them to publish a press release with a link to his site. So one of those he had to buy. The other three are probably progressive groups that are pointing out what a fraud he is. But so anyway, so what does he do? He decided that wasn't working out. The Psychological Reports, the Vanity Journal wasn't paying much attention, so he has moved to a new market, honey. He has moved to the National Examiner, and as this report points out, the National Examiner is the National Enquirer's dumb sister, dumber and louder. And so, but nonetheless, in the supermarket checkout aisles, Paul Cameron now screams to you from the National Examiner as an expert on gay serial killers. Yes, and it's based on Cameron's own source. From 1983, you see, Cameron has been doing this a long, long, long time. Here's what the Examiner says, as contributed by the expert Cameron. A study of 518 sexually tinged mass murders in the U.S. from 1966 to 1983 determined that 68% of the victims were killed by those who practiced homosexuality. Mind you, sexuality, especially if it's homosexuality, is never, never a person. It is never, never a relationship. It's never, never a family. It's never, never their home and their front yard. It's always an act. 68% of these victims in these mass murders were killed by those who practiced homosexuality. I always want to make the joke that, honey, nobody's practicing. We've all got it down. But in any case, he also says that 44 murders were bisexuals out of the total number. 44 murders were done by bisexuals or homosexuals, writes Paul Cameron. And he says he's a PhD. I really don't know if he is or not. If he is, it's not a very good one. And it's a report from the Family Research Institute. Now, you see, this quote, this is how it works. Paul Cameron put that same sentence, literally, that what you just heard about the homosexuals and the practice and the mass murders, whatever. He published that in a report. That those are his words, and it was put in a paper for the Family Research Institute. Now, what he did, so in the Inquirer, he goes back and he quotes the Family Research Institute. In other words, he quotes his own words in the Family Research Institute, but never says that it's his own words. He says that it's indeed the Family Research Institute who's making this statement, and he is merely quoting them. You see, this is the way you get yourself artificial and invisible credentials. The article I'm looking at says the report was actually lifted verbatim from a pamphlet, which was actually Cameron's paper, Is Homosexuality Disproportionately Associated with Murder? Well, he also claims that this paper was presented to the Midwestern Psychological Association in 1983. Sound familiar? Anybody recognizing the pattern here? So anyway, this information that I'm giving you right now comes from the Box Turtle Bulletin, and the Box, which is a wonderful site, by the way, you got to check out Box Turtle Bulletin. I've got to get that guy on the show, Jim Burroway, amazing guy. In any case, Box Turtle Bulletin is saying that they would like to congratulate Paul Cameron for finding such a suitable publication for the things that he likes to talk about. What we're going to do at this point is run our request of the evening. In fact, the email said, play stuff by Cher. It's pretty much a direct quote on the email. So I'm glad to oblige the woman that will live forever, ever, the ageless woman, the gift that keeps on giving. And I'm not making fun of Cher. I love Cher's music. And I loved her back when she was on the Sonny and Cher show. Yes, I go back that far. I remember watching the show and loving it way back in the day. I remember even when Little Chastity came on as a little tiny little baby lesbian on the show. You may remember that too if you go back that far. But rather than just play one Cher track, we're going to run the Megamix, the 2005 Megamix. Now, this is done by the Almighty Records company over in England, who is widely renowned as just the who's who in fabulous remixes. So, Cher, Cher, Bob. I know maybe you look like Cher, but Bob, run the Megamix 2005. Thank you.
breaking my heart if you leave me. I don't wanna wait forever. Maybe it's all or nothing now. I don't wanna run and I can't walk out. You're breaking my heart if you leave me now. I don't wanna wait forever. Who do you think you're fooling? Maybe it's all or nothing. Forever.
I don't know why I did the things I did. I don't know why I said the things I said. Cried like a knife at you from deep inside. Work all I will for one day to move sometime.
Riding across America on a horse called Strictly Confidential. Kicking butt and taking names. And toll-free line is 877, the number 4, head-on, even if I do sound like Betty Davis. And that translates into 877-443-2366. And that's toll-free. If you have unlimited long distance, 304-658-3333. Just prior to coming back from the top of the hour, we had a 10-minute share orgasm, and yeah, you gotta love the woman. And by the way, I always love it when I hear a new lyric in a song. And in listening to that that mix this evening, I heard a brand new lyric I had never heard. I just loved it. She sings, "I've been losing sleep and you've been going cheap." Oh, you gotta love a lyric like that. That's a great line. Yeah, that's a great get out of my lifeline. I've been losing sleep and you've been going cheap. Gotta love it. Oh, and by the way, when we did this story earlier about the Arkansas wanting to ban adoption by same-sex couples. We had a question from our chat room regarding how that would affect children in a divorce situation. And honestly, I don't know, but I'll tell you what we'll do. Next week, I will get in contact with the Arkansas Equality Group. We've not had Arkansas Equality, and that would be, you know, considering they are suffering a double whammy up there from the Family Council Action Committee, double whammy involving both marriage and now adoption. I think it's high time we visited with Arkansas Equality. By the way, just about any state you can think of, you can Google a state's name and then put the word equality by it, Florida Equality, Arkansas Equality, Alabama Equality, and find the local action group if you want, are wondering what's going on in any individual state. And by the way, you should probably join those groups. And let's see. I mentioned a story the other evening. That, there was an article that was out today. I think it was called 29 Reasons to Be Happy, or 29 Reasons that Things Are Going Right. I forgot exactly what it was called. We mentioned this the other evening, that there was a research study done that gay couples are just as committed and happy in their relationships as anyone else. Anyway, that was reason number 27. I got a kick out of that. Reason 27 is that gay couples are just as committed in their relationships as anyone else, and are often more satisfied. I know, big shock. Will these two new studies matter to the right-wing homophobes? Well, no, it will not matter at all. And, you know, it certainly plays into the Arkansas situation and the marriage amendments and the whole damn thing. But in any case, Reason 27 points out that that is in fact true, and that the kids turn out just fine, and that so far these relationships have not caused riots or floods or an Ebola virus outbreak. Yes, this is absolutely true, although it's not helping my throat any. I'll tell you that. And let's see, moving right along. Oh, yeah. I want to talk to you about the other screaming nutcases out there. You know, the right-wing fundies, they scream at us a lot, the LGBT folks. That's, everybody knows that. And from time to time, they scream at the brown people coming across the border. But I don't think a lot of people realize, you know, I'm always talking about paperback religion and how its religion has been so dumbed down because of the level of publications that you'll find in a Christian bookstore. This is not altogether true, but you'll find it to pretty much be a paperback type of quick fix sort of thing. No real depth to it. In any case, there's an article that appeared over at CNN, which I'm going to bring up too. But a lot of these people on the right, there is a group too that also, in addition to attacking brown people and abortion clinics and people like us, they attack authors who have written books that are about Christianity or about faith, and in these books they are inclusive of all of us regarding what our problems are or where we are, that we are indeed welcome. I'll start out with the CNN. I have not read this book. I'm going to talk about another book I have read in just a moment. But there's an author. His name is Donald Miller, and he's written a book that has the right wing fuming. And you see, the thing is that Miller has distanced himself from the homosex-obsessed fetus cuddlers, and he's distanced himself from the ones who think about gay sex all day long. And currently, the people who are doing that are just all over CNN in their comments section. There's a book that he wrote recently, and this is one of the responses to Mike's book. You know, they love to beat up anything that, including publishers. It reads, Miller, like many, pick and choose their own gospel. Imagine that. Miller attacks the conservative element, and some of you attack it because you're absolutely ignorant of theology. Miller is a perfect example of the fraud put upon the church as some other voices by CNN, when in fact he's a profiteer doing the same as some evangelists. Jesu, I'm reading that literally, J-E-U-S-U. Jesu, I can't make this stuff up. Jesu is only myth to the unbeliever if you do not accept the ransom paid on your own. Simply put, now some of you think Miller makes sense. No, he doesn't. He is attacking the very God he proclaims to believe in. He supports the act of homosexuality. Remember, it's always an act. It's never a person. It's never a relationship. It's never a house with the flowers in the yard. It's never kids. It's never getting up and going to work. It's an act. He supports the act of homosexuality. Check out what the American Medical Association says about the facts regarding the violence the act does towards the male body when the act is executed. This is not a person I'm speaking of. It's an act. And Miller embraces that. There's no such thing as a homosexual person. He or she is simply practicing the act. I'm kidding you not. This is how many times they use the word. There's no such thing as gay people. And this is the reason that Miller has taken it upon himself, taken the self-righteous position, trying to take over the authority of Paul and Matthew and John and Peter and Jesus. Congratulations, you win a cookie. You spelled it right this time. Jesus is a myth? Question mark. Well, wonder why you're asking. Certainly Miller never said that in his book. But it says, when you're dying or someone you love is going away, watch how quick you'll need the foolishness that turns into a need for Christ. So hush, mister, and join the world of humbleness. And that's typical of some of the rants. By the way, a wonderful, wonderful book. I highly recommend it. It's listed on my MySpace page as my favorite book. It's called The Ragamuffin Gospel. And it, too, is bashed very loudly by the Christian right. According to the Christian right, this book represents no rejection of false gospel, no scriptural birth. It preaches psychology-influenced gospels, and it allows people to live in the grossest sin without repentance. And it says, God is holy and will judge every infraction. Well, he is a traffic cop, you know. It goes on about man's fallen condition, blah, 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 blah. So anyway, it's certainly not Miller. It's also Brennan Manning. By the way, I'm attempting to get Brennan Manning on the show. He's indeed a wonderful, wonderful writer and an interesting past. If you're interested, you can Google Brennan Manning, but I'm attempting to get him on the show. We have caller. We have Kate on the line from a remote, undisclosed location somewhere in the deep south, which means she's probably just a holler at a stone's throw away. Hi, Kate.
Hey, I don't know if it's deep south. I'm not far from the small town gay bar, but I haven't gotten over there yet. But, you know, I gotta look myself up to
I
that.
I so want to find out more about that place.
I do too. I sit here every day thinking, you know, I could just run down there and go see that crew.
Do you think the two women still own it? Do you think that they? Do you have any clue? Have you heard anything?
No, I haven't, not yet. But their web page has changed since right after I saw the movie, and I went on. They have an email account too, and it isn't on the web page anymore, and I don't know what's going on. So I'm just going to have to go show up and maybe give them a call and make an appointment to say, hey, on one of their days off, you know, because I think they're only open Thursday through Saturday or something.
Was it, I didn't realize they had a site. Are they listed as Rumors, or did the site refer to the bar's name as Rumors? Is that how you found
Rumors,
it?
Rumors, yeah, that's how I found it, yeah. And there was some information at the end of the movie, but I left my movie in Arizona, so I haven't been able to view it anymore again.
Well, that's
so
understandable. I left my heart in San Francisco. It's just the nature of what we do. We're always, I know. It's always something.
I leave my shit scattered all over the country.
I know. It's like...
Huh?
Go ahead. I was just going to say, yeah, it's always like a storm just passed through. There are pieces scattered everywhere, like fine china,
right.
You know.
Right. That's what that kind of reminds me of, scattering, a storm blowing through. I don't remember if I talked to you or if I called in about what we've been doing down on the coast. I had to come north for a little bit. I needed a break, and it's pretty awful down there. The money's not getting distributed, and all of the workers are, the caseworkers and case managers and agency people are just burned out big time. Oh, God, it's awful.
The last time we spoke, I believe you were telling me you worked in an office that was trying to help distribute the funds, and that it wasn't an easy thing to do, and people were just kind of accepting it, like, this is the way it is. And is that, I think that's the last time we talked.
Yeah, I was working as, I was administrative support for an agency that did case management for 5 counties for disabled and elderly, and I worked with them a bit last year, and when I got back, I mean, I knew what I was walking into, and I didn't think it would be as bad as it was, but, and I took a trip around, right after I got down there, I took a trip around Pascagoula and Moss Point, and see all my, to just check out things, and all the clients that we'd worked with in January of last year, when I left in April, they were all still in FEMA trailers, and it broke my heart. I thought, God damn, it wasn't that hard, and, you know, it shouldn't be this way. It should not be this way, and the money's not getting distributed, and people still haven't gotten their housing grants from all that governor's fund money that was supposed to. They're calling it the, I don't know, Mississippi, I don't know, MDA, MHA, I don't know, something. Anyway, that they're not getting that money. But part of that fund went to building new ports and golf courts and Pascagoula. And,
I bet that was done first, the top of the line, wasn't it? The ports and everything, right?
Yeah, the port controversy has gotten quite ugly. And, so goes the politics, but I did have a good, anyway, so I finished up, we did end of the year reports and end of the month, end of the quarter and end of the year all came in December, and it was a bazoo operation, and as soon as that was over, I said, I need to go away. And the puppies I was living with, I was allergic to. You said, "Oh, don't you? Would you like cats?" Well, no, I don't.
That's a shame to be allergic to those little sweet things. I'm so sorry.
I know. They weren't really. Anyway, since I left there, I'm not waking up with a swollen face and coughing and stuff. So, I guess it was a good thing to leave because I was starting to get ugly and critical and judgmental, and I thought, dude, it's time to boogie on out of here. But before I left, I think I left on Thursday, and Tuesday night we had finally had a meeting of people who had gotten together to meet and talk about learning how to do their own construction projects and their own fix up, you know, the crack in the sheetrock or the mud needs to be repaired, then repainted, and do their own home repairs to help them get back into their house. So they may be back in their house and the construction's not all done. Like maybe they're just kind of living in one room and the rest of the rooms are all studded out and not sheetrocked, and, you know, that kind of thing. And it's always been my, I don't know, I think it's in my DNA to do things in a circle or in a village. The village concept or the community concept, you know, and
You have some Indian in you, some American Indian. That's
like,
you know, I was just thinking of our interview with the fellow. My great great grandmother was Cherokee.
I think that's probably where it comes from. And then a lot of the other influence comes from my school up in Tacoma, Washington. It was an African American Afrocentric liberal arts school, and we did everything in a village form, you know, and it was just, I don't know, it's just part of me. Anyway,
cool.
I had worked with two or three women who, I had talked to them about this and said, you know, you could do this yourself. If you had a tile saw, a wet tile saw, you could cut this ceramic tile and lay this stuff yourself. I mean, boys can do it. How hard is it? And she laughed and said, well, where would I learn that? Well, Home Depot and Lowe's did used to have home repair classes, and so based on that, I said, well, we could just start that, and we could all go together and meet at Lowe's and learn how to do tile on Thursday night, and then go fix everybody's tile that needs tile fixing, you know. And it sort of grew into, like, I don't want to be a part of this. I mean, I just want to bring y'all together, and I just planted the seed, you know, just make a little storm. And so, anyway, out of that came, I got all of my contacts together, and I met the woman who I consider to be the village queen of my point, and she's, I don't know, she's in her 60s and an educator and retired, and now she's running a program that gets people funding for houses, not special loans, but she helps people get into their first house and that sort of thing. Anyway, so her and I got together and talked about the concept of empowering women, and she was just hot to go with that. So that, and then we found she had met, just prior to me coming down, she had met a young woman over in Biloxi who is kind of the coordinator of a four agency program, like two community colleges and one organization out of D.C., WOW, I can't remember what it stands for. Anyway, she has this program where you can take a 10-week construction course, or you can take a year-long contractor school or whatever. So it's really hot. It's going. So she came over and talked to the women who gathered about what she offers, and I talked about the village. We've been waiting on him, you know, the rev and the pastor and the brother and the husband and the adult sons and everybody, the volunteers, some church or something, to come in and do this. And I said, dang, y'all been sitting here for 2 years in the house, and if there's got to be one of us in this room that could teach the other ones how to paint, for, you know, whatever. And so they all just really liked that idea. And The village queen, she belongs to the Baptist Church on Main Street in Moss Point, and she stood up in church and announced that two Sundays in a row that we were going to have a women's construction class going on, and we were going to meet Tuesday at 5 o'clock, and people just went wild. Whoa! And about seven of them showed up, and three weren't there. So it's going to turn out to be quite large, but we had 12 women show up, and we went around the room and talked about what Carissa talked about, what she offers in terms of classes and further schooling and stuff. And there were two women in there who were really interested. One young gal got fired from Northrop Grumman because she had arthritis and couldn't work anymore. So she's working at Popeyes, and she needed. So when we went around the room talking about what our expectations were, what we thought we needed out of this group, when this came to this young gal, she said, I want to be a contractor. Woohoo! God. And I said, one of my fears is, I mean, as the energy was, the room was just vibrating, these 12 or 14 women, it was just wonderful. And most of them were over 45, and a couple of them were at least 50 or 60. And they were the church ladies, and there were a couple, three younger people, and there was a woman there who was a past executive from Coca-Cola in Atlanta, and I don't know why she quit, or she got tired of the corporate or something, and she's back in Moss Point, and she just practically rebuilt her mother's house, and she went to Home Depot and got one of those 1-2-3 repair books, you know, the fix your own home thing, and she carried it around in her. Yeah, she carries it around in her truck, relies on it for everything. She's taught herself to plumb and wire and use a bunch of power tools and stuff. I mean, she's just hot to go. So anyway, we went around people started kind of deferring to her, and she was telling people about what they could do without that and not that and, you know, this and that. So she kind of floated to the top as the leader of the group, which I knew somebody would, and I just waited to see who it would be, and it's her. And as we were going around the room talking about what they wanted, I said, now, I just want you to know that I'm just a grassroots startup person. I'm not in this. I'm probably not even going to be here for in another few days. I just move on. And but my fantasy, I mean, it's extremely important with the energy that we've got going in this room that you name yourself. You got to claim this energy and take a name, and that's extremely important. And
well said, Kate. Great point. I would have never that would have never occurred to me. Wonderful point.
Well, it just struck me as they needed to claim their identity. They cannot leave this energy in the room without putting a label on it and owning it. So they, you know, how you kind of in it. And in the African American culture, it's always interrupted learning and speech, you know, when you talk over the top of each other and go, check it out, and then you interrupt, and then you get somebody else, and you know how that goes. And so that's kind of what was going on in the room, and everybody's kind of talking over each other, and we're all laughing till, but God, it was so good. And what finally came out of the naming was A Few Good Women. Yeehaw!
Great, that's wonderful. And it claims it, right? Yeah, great.
Yeah. And so, a woman said, "Well, the Army can do a few good men," and I said, "Damn few," and they all laughed. And so, anyway, A Few Good Women evolved on Tuesday night about 2 weeks ago, and I got an email from one of them and said that they wired the fan at her house and they wired three plug-in wall plugs, you know, and the leader person did two of them, and then so-and-so assisted her with the third one. And so I thought, God, that's so cool. One woman said, well, you know, we've got the tools. I mean, my husband's got tools laying all over the house, or we've got the tools. It's just not really feeling comfortable with how to use them. It's just really basic, simple stuff like that. And one woman said, well, my house needs to be painted, but I wouldn't even want to pick up a paintbrush because I wouldn't even know what to do with it. I would make such a mess. And she just needed to learn how to paint, you know. And how hard is that? I mean, once you get comfortable with the tools, the materials, you can do anything. So they were just really excited, and they're going to meet again on Thursday. And the other thing that came out of it is that they're going to meet once a month to bring in new people to charge them up and get them into the deal. And one of the women whose house wasn't finished when I left, I said, and Barbara's house would be a perfect example of a place where you can go in and do just about everything, all the detail work, the bathroom floor, put in the tub, you know, the plumbing all needs to be done. The house is plumbed and got water to it and electricity, but we had to tear out the bathroom and that kind of stuff. And Barbara's real sick, and she had to even go to Virginia after she evacuated because she was so sick she had to be taken care of. And she's still not in her house, and it's 2.5 years later. So I turned to her sister and said, you know, couldn't we use Barbara's house as a place to work, like a workshop? And she said, oh, yeah, we've got to get it done. So my fantasy is that they're going to go from house to house to house and get everybody back in their houses and get, you know, one woman just had a floor buckled in her hallway and needed new flooring in the hallway. That's all she needed in her house. You know, and she's been sitting for 2.5 years. After they finished with the job, the floor buckled, and she needs it redone, and that's all she needs, and she'll have her house back. But in the meantime, you know, people who don't have weekends off. They're always stepping around something that needs to be done. One woman still got mold growing in the back of her house and a couple of the spare rooms, and it's awful, you know. So I figured, I said, my fear is, I said to the group, my fear is, and I have to apologize for this ahead of time, that there's going to be some people that come into this group or that are already here who learn how to use a skill saw and learn how to miter corners and learn how to plumb a sink and put in a toilet and hang sheetrock and say, I ain't never going back to that desk again. And I just, I'm apologizing ahead of time for ruining anybody's life or their career path. Oh, right on. I can get into that. I'm down with that. So
What a remarkable story.
Yeah, I'm just really proud because the women just came together and it was just the right time. And, the, you know, it's like if the kindling is all dry and it's all piled just right and you just one little spark and it goes, and they're off and running. So I don't know what kind of a fire got started in Moss Point, Mississippi, but I ain't taking no responsibility for it.
Well, I think that's wonderful. Kate, did you get any, was there any negative remarks by the men folk that had been sitting around so long? Did they express the anger over a few good women? I mean, there's so many ways that they could spin that so that it's negative. What was their reaction?
I don't know because I left on Thursday. I'm sticking around for that shit. I know too many of the preachers down there, and they're like, oh, that cake, that she did, you know, whatever. I'm grinning. One woman did say, well, you know, I do need, whatever it was, some small repair work. And she said, I do need that done, but every time I try to do it, he gets all mad at me. And so we can just go and do it, but we have to wait till he's gone, and then you'll have to leave before he gets home. And then we all laughed and said, well, we can do that, too. We'll just make an appointment. And so, yeah, there's going to be a lot of friction and a lot of dissension and a lot of being made fun of. And, well, you think you can, you're going to have a skill saw now? You know, it's going to be. The woman, the village queen, did say when I first met her, she said, oh, she said, this is so good. This is just such serendipitous, Kate. You know, I bought myself a Christmas present. You know what it was? And I said, no, Marva. And she said, a toolkit. And it was pink.
You gotta love that. Which would
further
tick off the men.
And she said, you know what? I liked it so much, I went back to the store to get more for my friends, my girlfriends, and they didn't have any. So I'm just going to have to find more. And we were laughing about the tool belts, and she said, I said something about everybody getting new tool belts, and she said, probably patent leather ones.
That sounds like a group I could get along with.
Oh, no kidding. And I just flashed back on so many of our conversations about the chainsaws and the tool belts and the pickups and stuff, because three of the women in the group already had pickups. And so, you know, it's going to take off, I hope. And but the main point is that people get back into their house and get, you know, just have some kind of sense of ownership in their new skills and stuff. And I was really happy for them. It was just, so we just got a few good women in Jackson County.
You know, Kate, that's almost the stuff of a novel. You know how people tell the story of when the great hurricane came and it took the women to rebuild it and what they went through and waiting for the men to do something and the pink toolboxes and this woman named Kate coming through. I mean, it just has every ingredient of either a great movie or a novel. Don't you agree?
Well, I'm kind of, they're writing their own story, that's for sure, and it's really exciting about what can happen. And I just made it clear over and over and over again that I'm not a part of this. I'm not for one thing. Carissa, the young woman with the classes and the schools over in Biloxi, was a little white gal from Washington State, and her and I were the only pink skinned people in the room, and I felt comfortable with it, and she was blown away. She said, oh, the energy in there. I have just never seen people get so excited about that. You know, it really wasn't that big a deal. It was just a bunch of church women in the Sunday school room getting down, you know. And she was really blown away by it. But I wanted to make it clear that I'm an outsider, and I only have the idea, and I've been working on the idea in my head and praying and meditating about it all winter and all summer long. And when I got back here and met the village queen, I said, but can we get a room someplace? Because I've got three women who need to come together to build to do repair, and she said, well, yeah. So it turned into 12 women, and three were no shows for job reasons and family and stuff, and so it'll get bigger. And I don't know, and it may fizzle out because they can't stand the pressure, and maybe people are too depressed to carry on with it. I don't know, but it was something that I've been thinking about and fussing about for, there must be, because if we waited, when I was down there a year and a half out, it was that it wasn't working, and we were working too hard, and we weren't getting any, it wasn't, you know, got back, and it still wasn't getting done, so we got to do it a different way, so let's just do it ourselves. That was the point. You know, we just can't wait on him anymore, including Uncle Sam. So we just got to do it ourselves.
Well, Kate, there's another aspect to this, and anyone who grew up in a small town or anyone who has attended a little tiny church, a little rural area, there's a huge tendency to not change anything, that everybody stays in their own little spot. And the fact that you're able to go in there and get that many people to do that just amazes me. It just really, that's wonderful.
Yeah, I understand that. I was in a little church in a little town in rural Montana, and yeah, I mean, that you're right. But there weren't no changing in that room, honey. They were down with changing. Ooh, wow. That was very exciting. Listen, I see that it's the bottom of the hour, and we need to get across the street to the gay bar. And I also
yes, I understand
you.
That. That Victor is over there warming up the turntables as we speak.
Sam, New Yorkers, they ain't got no patience. If we don't show up pretty quick, he's going to just shut the whole damn thing down and
he's
go back.
He's going to do something awful. Right, I just know he's going to do something really bad if we don't get the hell over there.
I lived in New York City. I know how those boys are. Anyway, I just want to go back to the point that I always made when in Arizona. I was ranting all the time. There are people out there who are listening who it would be so nice to have people call in and talk. Don't have to talk about nothing, to just call in and say, hey, I'm listening. I mean, we know you're out there, and it. I know, I understand the shy thing, but don't be. Just call in, and at least, because we need to keep honoring Peter for the work he does and the effort that he puts out and the wonderful guests and the great interviews that he's doing. And then he even gets out of his bed and comes to work. Yeah, like 2.5 feet, right?
Yeah, as if I'm not sitting on the side of it right now. Yeah,
yeah, right. He has to commute to work and show up.
Yeah,
and
right.
Nobody ever calls in and says, thank you, Peter, for what you do, the commute to work, getting out of your bed.
Oh, it's just terrible, the traffic.
Leaving the animal alone. doing without good food, and his feet are cold all the time, and oh my God, it's awful. We just, and also, if anybody's out there who's not listening to Bob's Head On, or you don't listen to the horn section, please, we need to send some contributions in, because Rick Goodner, our horn psychologist, will match everything that we send in this month for to put in the new studio and to pay the bills, and so we're not even third of the way through to the $3,000, but he'll match everything that we send in for rebuilding the new studio. And so this is a real good opportunity to get your $10 turned into 20 or 50 into 100. So please do, because we need to keep these mics hot. If you podcast or you're listening to anything all day long, any of the daytime programming, you know that this is extremely important, and we need to keep it hot. So, y'all call in or send in some money. If you don't call, then just send money, okay? And on the it's on the front page of the front of the Horn homepage, right? Is that what you say? I don't know.
That's right. It's on the Head On Radio Network homepage. And Kate, thank you so much for everything you do, and thank you for calling and telling us that wonderful story. And yeah, we're gonna head on over to the dance floor. Thank you,
okay.
Kate.
Love you. I'll meet you over there. Bye.
Okay. Good night to you. Bye bye. And that's our dear friend Kate. And it's time to head on across the street to visit with our friend Victor from Disco 935 in New York City. Victor is manning the turntables tonight at the gay bar across the street.
Nine. You touch the love so deep inside. That's all I wanna tell you. Now that I found you, don't take your love. Away.
Yeah, it's Disco 935's BJC. What's up? Doing it live, no jive, from my main man, Peter Godbo, and his Strictly Confidential Radio. Kicking off with Linda Lee. And Don't Take Away Your Love, the Kicking Live mix. A little bit of freestyle from back in the day. Stick around, more to come. I'm Strictly Confidential Radio. What's up? It's BJC. Hello. Noel, Out of Time. It's Disco 935 BJC. Hello. Enjoy the freestyle ride from back in the day. you, the sound of Judy Torres. Before that, Latin Rascals. We continue nonstop on Head On Radio Network. You can hear me at disco935.net. Go there, you can check me out. I'm BJC, live from Studio 935, New York. Jamming the freestyle from back in the 80s. Bringing it back on Strictly Rhythm. Strictly Rhythm. Strictly Confidential Radio. Enjoy the ride. What's up, Peter? yeah. It's Disco 93.5's BJC live from Studio 93.5 in New York. Jamming the 70s, 80s, and beyond. This 20-minute mix is a freestyle from back in the day. Big shout to Peter for allowing me to jam on Strictly Confidential Radio. Till next time, check me out on the 20-minute live disco mix from Studio 93.5 New York. See ya, I wouldn't want to be ya. It's BJC live from New York.
Nobody, and I'm telling you, absolutely nobody does it like VJC at Disco 935 in New York. Do stop by disco935.net and check Victor out. You will not be sorry you did. And we love that the New York thing going on. You know, Bob and I were so, you know, we do our sort of southern thing, and it's just so refreshing. Victor, thank you so much. And again, disco935.net in New York. You will be glad you stopped by. As we close out the show this evening, I want to remind you that, in fact, the programming for this week is not over. Tomorrow evening, join us at 6 p.m. for Matt Sauer's report, an excellent news program you will find, and I'm sure that you will enjoy yourself. Stop by for Matt. Then at 9 p.m., we have Billy Shears' Night Sounds. The incomparable Billy Shears, who is our music guru here on the Head On Radio Network, runs from 9 till 12. And then we have our shrink, the absolutely highly qualified Rick Goodner for Rick's Place, the horn psychoanalyst, and it's something we so badly, badly need around this place. You know, I was just thinking, it's really just as well that we had to reschedule Justin Utley. My voice is so weird this evening that it would probably been a strange interview anyway. So in any case, we're going to have Justin this coming Wednesday. We've rescheduled. That will be a very interesting show, and you'll be glad you heard that. Okay, let's see. What else do I want to get out to you? I'm sure there's something. Yes, thanking the News Ninjas for all their participation and help. We absolutely could not do this without you. And by all means, I just want everybody to know we love you guys very much. Oh, yeah, the DJ who's manning the dance floor Monday will be the wonderful Larry Sanders. I swear to God, one day I'm going to ask that man to marry me. Love the music. And my best to you all. And here's Cynthia Manley reminding you to... Dance.